Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Money in the Market on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money in the Market. I'm Hong Bin-jung. The complacency, which helped investment markets to do well in the first half of this year, has given way to the realization that U.S. inflation remains sticky despite significant Fed rate hikes. The U.S. jobs market is very resilient. The Fed funds rate will stay high for longer, and a U.S. recession has been delayed but not averted. So these are some of the new market realities that we have to deal with. And with earnings season underway, it seems to be seen if the current earnings season will continue to buoy optimism about the outlook given growing concerns of margin pressures and a recession. So how should investors readjust to the reality of a possible U.S. recession that has been delayed but not averted? Well, joining me on the phone today is Vasu Menon, who is the Managing Director of Investment Strategy at OCBC. Vasu, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon and thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Vasu, you know, investment markets did fairly well in the first half of this year. What led to that? And now that we're almost to the end of the year and the final quarter, have the financial conditions entirely shifted? I mean, what are the new realities that we're facing?
Okay, I think if you look at how the markets performed in the first half of this year, you're right, they did quite well. A number of reasons. Number one, coming off 2022, 2022 was a very dismal year for the equity and bond markets. I think the market saw a sell-off. And so because of that, you know, valuations were looking better after the sell-off. And so, you know, you saw some degree of bargain hunting taking place. You also saw optimism that interest rates would have peaked, you know. And what happened was you saw U.S. 10-year bond yields come off from 4.2%, which was the peak for 2022, to 3.3%, which is a low for 2023 in June of this year. So October 2022, 4.2%, June this year, 3.3%. And that decline in bond yields, you know, reflects the fact that markets took the view that interest rates were peaking and that resulted in some optimism. Of course, you know, other factors that came into play were the stronger than expected economic data, you know, which exceeded market expectations, leading to optimism about earnings. And that also contributed to the rally. Finally, I want to highlight the fact that, you know, if you really look deep into the S&P 500 rally in the first half of this year, you'll see that it was really led primarily by technology stocks and really by a handful of, you know, Magnificent 7 or Magnificent 8 technology stocks. The big cap technology stocks were seeing a big run-up after being beaten down in 2022. And they accounted for almost 80-90% of the rally in the S&P 500 index. So it was several factors that contributed to the rally in the first half. But, you know, I think as we go into the second half, the markets have, you know, not performed as well.
Yeah.
July was okay, but since July, things have, you know, pulled back. And as you mentioned, the new realities are that, you know, investors are coming to terms with the fact that inflation is sticky. In fact, inflation, the headline inflation in the U.S. bottomed. Okay, the high was 9% in June last year. It bottomed at close to 3% in June this year. And since then, it's picked up to almost 4%. So, you know, the reality is that investors have come to terms with the fact that inflation may not have bottomed. There's a chance that it could reaccelerate. And, you know, it's been sticky. While goods inflation is down, services inflation is up. And that, you know, the Federal Reserve may not be done with tightening policy, or they may have to keep rates higher for longer. And while, as you said, while a recession has been averted, partly because of the fiscal stimulus in the U.S., the fiscal thrust, as you said it, fiscal thrust due to, you know, the fiscal policy from the pandemic resulting in excess savings of U.S. consumers, the ability to keep spending in 2023, I think that's wearing off. I mean, in 2024, we won't have that. And so the full brunt of monetary policy will come through and, you know, concerns about recession, earnings downgrades. So, you know, the tide has turned. Investors' mindsets have changed. Compared to how they felt up to June this year.
I mean, of course, like you said, the tide has turned and we're facing these new market realities. And Vasu, one of the testament to these new realities is the sharp and rapid surge in U.S. bond yields that we've seen recently. Why is the movement of bond yields important to take note, and what's leading to this boost?
Well, you know, what's contributing to the increase in bond yields? And bond yields have increased quite significantly in the last few months. In fact, U.S. 10-year bond yields are now close to 5%. And I wouldn't be surprised if they breach the 5% handle.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is because of the new realities we spoke about. The new realization that inflation has not come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation is still a problem. It could reaccelerate, especially because, you know, oil prices have gone up, given what's happening in the Middle East, and because of the cut in supply by OPEC and Russia, you know, somewhere around July this year. I think that reality that inflation is still a problem resulted in bond yields turning the corner after hitting a low of 3.3% in June.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone up quite a bit from 3.3% in June to 5% now. That's a almost 2% move. The other factor that's contributed to the increase in bond yields that is not sufficiently talked about is the fact that in July, the Bank of Japan actually tweaked its monetary policy.
Right.
It allowed, you know, a wider swing in the long-term yields. So in effect, they tightened monetary policy. That resulted in higher Japanese bond yields, and that spilled over into U.S. bond yields as well. You know, so I think the resilience of the U.S. economy, the very strong job market that you mentioned at the onset of the show, all that have now got people confused and made them realize that, hey, maybe the economy is stronger than we think. Maybe inflation is a more serious problem than we think. And, you know, the Central Bank of Japan, if they tighten monetary policy in the coming months, that will, you know, spill over to bond yields in the U.S., cause it to go higher. And, of course, in the U.S., the government has still got a massive budget deficit. And to fund the deficit, they need to issue large amounts of U.S. treasuries.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we saw almost close to record issuance of U.S. treasuries in the third quarter of this year. And I think the figure will continue to be high in the fourth quarter. So all that has translated to, you know, higher bond yields. And what does it mean for investors? You know, higher bond yields mean that, you know, it takes away the appeal of equity markets.
Mm.
I mean, if you can get close to 5% from bond yields or 4% from bond yields, then your interest in putting your money into the equity markets, into things like REITs, become less appealing. You know, because you can actually get a decent return from the yields in some of these bonds. Right, especially the shorter dated bonds. Of course, and that weighs on the equity markets. Rising bond yields also impacts bonds, especially the longer dated bonds, you know, which can get hammered down because of the rising bond yields, because they tend to be more sensitive to rising bond yields. So the shorter end is not so sensitive, but the longer end, in other words, bond yields with duration of between 5 years and 10 years, they tend to be more susceptible to rising interest rates.
Mm.
And that segment of the market has seen a very sharp correction.
Right.
And finally, I think the rising bond yields can also impact things like our home loans, our home loan rates, the mortgage rates. And it has. I mean, home loan rates have gone up quite a bit, you know, in the last 12 months, 18 months. And I think the concern is that if bond yields continue to hit higher, there's a chance that, you know, home loan rates will remain high, or there's even a risk that they may hit higher if these bond yields in turn spill over into other market interest rates that impact the pricing for home loans.
Mm-hmm. I see. I mean, you talked about how sharp increase in bond yields do weigh on equity markets. And I want to shift our attention to equity markets here. Vasu, you know, equity markets, they've rallied in the first half of this year, partly because of greater confidence over a more stable economic backdrop, which has resulted in earnings upgrades. I mean, we're now in a new season of earnings, given some of the reports that or results that we've seen so far. Vasu, are the recent results up to your expectations or fairly disappointing?
Well, you know, the results have been mixed.
Mm.
But in general, if you look at the S&P 500 index, and let's pick the US, for example, S&P 500 index, as of last Friday, about 17% of the companies in the S&P 500 index have released results.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 70%, more than 70% of them have announced earnings that have beaten market expectations.
Mm.
So, that's a pretty good number. I mean,
yeah.
But having said that, you know, yesterday we saw technology stocks come off very sharply.
Mm.
And partly because, you know, tech companies, perhaps with the exception of Amazon, you know, have a few of them, have actually come in with results that are below market expectations,
mm-hmm.
disappointed investors. So
right.
I think it's very difficult to draw a generalization, but, you know, there are different pockets of analysis within the earnings space. But in general, earnings have actually exceeded market expectations. But nevertheless, you know, it doesn't look like the markets are really focusing all that much on earnings, with the exception of the tech sector.
Yeah.
The markets appear to be more concerned about inflation, rising bond yields, you know, Fed policy, what's happening in the Middle East and other factors.
Given how earnings season is faring so far, as you mentioned there, will it continue to buoy optimism about the outlook amid those growing concerns of margin pressures and a recession?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, as I said, 70% of the, more than 70% of companies have actually exceeded market expectations.
Yeah.
That should, that implies that the earnings season should actually buoy optimism and, you know, should actually be positive for the markets. But we've not seen that happen. Instead, the markets have been very volatile. And I think the reason is that, you know, again, we come back to the issue of the new reality. The new reality is that inflation is going to stay stubborn. The job market is very strong. Wage growth is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Commodity prices are rising in some instances. And as you mentioned, looking ahead past the current earnings season, you know, I think investors are worried that some of these new realities will translate to margin pressure and earnings disappointment, especially in the first half of 2024, if we see a recession especially.
Okay. I mean, meanwhile, markets have also glossed over the sharp bear re-steeping of the inverted U.S. yield curve. Vasu, maybe for our listeners who might not be, you know, aware of this bear steepener, what is a bear steepener and what does this signal? Is this something investors should be worried about?
Definitely, a bear steepening of the yield curve implies that the 10-year yield in the U.S. increases more than the 2-year yield. So in this case, the yield curve was negative. The 2-year yields exceeded 10-year yields by as much as, I believe, you know, 108 basis points or so, you know, sometime in July of this year. But that negativity, the 108 basis points negativity has now shrunk to minus 14 basis points, very roughly, minus 14 basis points. So, and that decline in negativity between the 2-year yield and the 10-year yield, in other words, the 2-year yield exceeds the 10-year yield, higher than the 10-year yield. It was higher than 10-year yield by 180 basis points, and now it's roughly 14 basis points.
Mm-hmm.
So that narrowing has taken place because the 10-year yields have gone up at a faster pace than the 2-year yields. And when that happens, it's classified as a bear steepening.
Mm-hmm.
And a bear steepening, as the name suggests, is not exactly very positive for the markets, right? It signals that the markets are worried about inflation, markets are worried about U.S. interest rates, markets are worried about the fiscal health of the U.S. economy, and they're worried that inflation could re-accelerate in the coming months. And usually a bear steepening happens months before a recession starts kicking in. So we could see a recession fairly soon if we use history as a guide.
Yeah.
Based on other bear steepening.
I mean, the last time this happened was back in 2007. And what followed after, as you mentioned, was a U.S. recession and a sharp fall in equity markets. Then, given this, how soon do you see a U.S. recession to hit?
Well, you know, it's hard to predict, but we think a U.S. recession will happen sometime in 2024.
Mm.
Our best guess is that it could happen in the first half of 2024. Which is really, you know, just months away from where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it could happen anytime in sometime in 2024. We think, you know, there's a good chance of that happening based on the, as we talked about, the bear steepening of the yield curve. And historically, when a recession sets in, the equity market also falls and sometimes can fall quite sharply. This time around, the same thing may happen. But I think bear this in mind. We have talked about it for a long time. We've talked about a recession coming for a long time. It's been one of the most telegraphed recessions in history. So because it's been so well telegraphed and so well talked about, when it finally happens, it may not come as a total surprise to the market. You know, and so the sell-off may not be as sharp as what you saw historically. Don't forget, the S&P 500 has already corrected 10% from its peak in July. So to expect another 20% correction from here, it will probably take a lot. Maybe another 5-10% correction is possible. So you may not see as sharp a fall simply because, you know, it's been discounted to some extent.
Despite the impact might not be as big as what we might expect, but I'm pretty sure investors should be preparing for a possible recession. How should they prepare the assets for a possible recession, Vasu?
Yeah. So, you know, I think number one, hold a slightly larger amount of cash than you usually would. In other words, don't throw everything into the markets. Keep dry powder because, you know, if the markets do pull back sharply, it will present more interesting buying opportunities. So if you're sitting on, you know, positions that have given you pretty good gains, for example, you may want to reduce those positions and, you know, keep some dry powder in cash because if there's a pullback, it becomes more interesting. Number two is that, you know, I mean, it's very difficult to pick the bottom of the market. So if you're looking to invest in the market, do so gradually. Do not try and time the markets at this juncture. I think the best thing to do is maybe look at a buy, spread it out over the next 6 months or 9 months so that if the markets do pull back sharply, you at least have dry powder to participate in the markets. So I think, you know, dollar cost averaging is very important in this juncture. I think it makes sense for investors to put some money into the bond markets because yields are very attractive right now. In Singapore, for example, T-bills offer you pretty good yields. Even the corporate bond market, the shorter end can pretty... Yeah, so that is an interesting opportunity. The longer end of the bond curve also offers opportunities, but if there's a reset, if in the next few months, because of rising bond yields, it may come down, but once the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates, it's going to go up. So I think you want to adopt a barbell approach where you have an exposure to short-end bonds, shorter-term bonds, and also longer-term bonds. And equity markets, they are going to be very volatile. And this is where I think you've got to be a bit more careful. Again, don't be negative because I think once we go past a recession, the Fed starts cutting rates, history tells us that the markets can rally quite nicely. So keep some dry powder and look out for opportunities in equity markets to buy on sharp pullbacks.
It seems like you're not very optimistic about equity markets right now. So, Vasu, is it still possible for a Santa Claus rally this year?
Well, I'm a bit more skeptical this year, this time around, given what's happening in the Middle East. You know, politics is so difficult to guess and predict. Right, I don't think anyone has a clear answer, not even the politicians, right? And so that's a big equation. I mean, what's happening in the Middle East can have a big impact on oil prices. And as I said, the Bank of Japan is going to probably tighten monetary policy in 2024. And we're not sure what the spillover effect is going to be on the bond markets in the U.S. and elsewhere. I mean, bond yields could go even higher because of that. And of course, the U.S. recession that could happen, it's not happened so far, but it could, you know, start showing signs of happening. And so given all that headwinds, hard to be terribly positive in the short term and hard to see a big Santa Claus rally this time around.
I see. Well, that's all the time we have with you. Vasu, thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Vasu Menon, who is the Managing Director of Investment Strategy at OCBC. I'm Hong Bin Jung, and this has been Money in the Market. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.